Good morning, and a welcome to all of you. We have a lot of visitors this morning. We extend a special welcome to those of you who have not been here before. I saw my Aunt Ella here this morning, and I'd like to recognize her, who is doing a great service for her aging sister in Indiana, and comes back just occasionally to visit us now as her visiting congregation, as a visitor here. And a welcome to you, Ella. This morning I'd like to talk a little about our relationship with God and how we view God. And primarily how we, in that relationship, how we experience God in a joyful way. As parents of small children, when we had just, children of below about 7, 8 years of age, we pretty much avoided the subject of hell. We talked about God in positive ways. Perhaps part of that reason, perhaps largely the reason, was that I could barely comprehend or bear the thought of eternal punishment without any hope. But also, we intended for our children to view God as the one who created everything, who created everything good, who desires a relationship with us, not a God that is harsh and demanding, intimidating, I clearly remember the time and place when the question first came up. I believe we just had 3 children at that time, and we were camping. Before we knew Westcliff as we do now, we found Westcliff, Colorado, on a camping trip. And it was one of those great, memorable spots for us. And we were up in the foothills. And as I was walking with the children talking, one of them asked, well, And we were, as I recall, we were talking about the bright things of God's nature and heaven and so on. And one of them asked, what happens to people who don't believe? And, there are those memory-making times, an experience or a comment, something about the way you feel. A lot of things of that era you have forgotten, but you remember that one thing. And that hit me it was a pretty, it had a real impact. Now we talk about this. And I don't regret the approach we took. Of course, I think our younger children would have a different memory of how we communicated to them the relationship of God, because the discussion was broader at that time. As adults, I think that sometimes we kind of get a fixed view of God, and and perhaps we don't move into the kind of relationship with God that He actually wants to have with us. There was then a time in my life where it seemed that I had pretty much lost my joy in God. Perhaps my joy in my Christian experience, I should say. And that was when, when our family was young, and there was something about the weight of responsibility that I felt that made it well. Of course, I had I don't consider myself a negative person. I hope I'm not viewed as a negative person, but then it's not hard for me to recognize negative things around me. And world conditions only seem to be worsening, and somehow those things seemed really big to me as our children were small. And probably there could be a number of things that would contribute to my feelings in that part of my experience, but likely it was largely a lack of the ability to see God as being unquestionably in charge, completely in control, as a God to be trusted with every circumstance. Some of the questions that went through my mind were the seeming unfairness around us. Not that I thought I was being treated unfairly in a negative way, but rather that I was among the privileged because of the enormous opportunity that I and the people around me have to experience a loving God and a hope for the future. And knowing that there are many people who die without ever having the opportunity to know. And that's something, you know, I still can't wrap my mind around that, but I am able to leave that with God and know that God has a purpose for everything. Along with that, it's always been difficult for me to see how God could allow us to choose wrongly. You know, without understanding the nature of God and His giving us the right to choose, we would think He made a mistake by allowing us to choose. Especially in that people make choices that impact the eternal destiny of a soul. And, you know, once again, I can't, my thought processes just don't run as deeply as some people's do. I don't get it, but that's, we live in a fallen world, and that's a reality that we make choices that can impact a person's soul for the positive or negative. Well. I'd like to ask, what is your view of God? Um, Do you see him as a stern God or a generous God? How about a big God? Morris Yoder was here some years ago with a slide presentation on astronomy. That's the first that I was aware of the fact that there are dust or gas clouds that are light years across. Just completely blows my mind. What is God doing in creating those things? Is it for our fascination? Is it for his own joy? And speaking of God's own satisfaction, if you will, do we see God as happy? Perhaps even humorous. I hope it doesn't seem irreverent to you if I say that I believe God has a great sense of humor. Laughter in church is not a problem to me. And let me clarify, to think that a good sermon has to have a good joke, that's not what I'm trying to say. But I am saying that I believe that our spirits should experience the kind of joy and trust that laughter comes easily for us. Another one of those moments that I remember as a child myself was when I was with my father in town. We met a man on the sidewalk. I believe it was there in front of the hardware store on South Main. And I don't even remember if he was an acquaintance of my father or if we simply met because we were all there waiting for someone. I don't remember the circumstances around that, but the conversation turned to a person that they knew mutually, and the other person, I don't know if he was a believer or not, but he said that this man said that he does not want to go to heaven because there won't be anyone there to visit with. Now, that comment had a real impact on me. And like I say, it was one of those memorable times that someone could be so brash and so irreverent as to make that comment. Now, I don't know, was it that this person was irreverent, or was it that the believers he knew did not have the kind of bearing that made him want to go where they were going? I see that if I'm going to read the scripture, I need to get with it. And so I will leave my comments at this point. And I'd like to turn to Ephesians, the first chapter, starting at verse 3. We see God mentioned in the context of joyfulness. He's often called our blessed God. Blessed, I'm told, is to be interpreted as happy. I think we can apply that to God. Starting at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, in which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I believe we'll quit there. Let's kneel for prayer. God, we thank you this morning for the privilege of gathering to worship you. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you as our God, as our Creator, and as our friend. Today we ask that you meet us here, impress your will in our hearts, and draw us close to yourself as we worship together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.